Our final speaker in this panel is Christian McRae. Christian is Program Director for Games at RMIT University, and he's also a researcher and publishes regularly on video games and popular digital arts. And his recently published works include We Play in Public, The Nature and Context of Portable Gaming Systems, and Games in the Modern University. And today's talk is titled My Art, My Collection, Collecting, Curation and Creativity in Popular Arts Communities. Thanks, Christian.
Greetings. I am a time traveller. I come from a time where game artists and game designers will be hard to archive and record. I come from a time where they work in ways which will be increasingly difficult to understand as the years go on. I come from a time known as the year 2014. I want to talk really about things that really continue the discussions that we've had this morning, but I want to talk about the present. And it comes in the context of being in the very fortunate position of seeing not what just my university does, but what a number of universities do to take students into game design courses, both in the art and design contexts and computing contexts, and seeing what's happening both nationally and internationally. And part of my work over the last couple of years has been to come up with, I guess, a body of information for the federal government to use to understand what's happening in game design, because people are starting to freak out about the students who are saying they want to do games. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of them every year, and there's no jobs, so they want to know what's going on. So do I. And one of the things that's incredibly important, I think, to recognise is that some of our assumptions, and certainly my assumptions, about why people want to do video game design, video game production, video game coding, have been proven wrong time and again. And I want to know why my assumptions were the way they were. Okay. So, I'm really going to talk about game art a little bit, and I should probably have more pictures. Sounds like, but I've got a couple of really nasty ones, so you'll be happy. researchers have begun to study image-based social networks such as DeviantArt and Tumblr for their unique properties and the relatively distinct social roles that they perform for their users. I briefly want to look at the questions posed by that research, and also to extend this to our conversation today. So really, I want to talk about popular art, especially illustration, concept art, promo art, character pieces, and digital comics, all which I argue, and I think I will continue to argue in work to come, are increasingly important to video game production. There's a couple of elements I want to touch on, or three elements I want to touch on, hopefully of interest. First, that this kind of popular art has been undergoing a kind of continual metamorphosis, partially but not only mappable to the spread of digitized graphics tablets, that warrants at least a unique inclusion or recognition in talking about the nature of making games and software today. Second, that these image-based social networks, DeviantArt, Tumblr, and the specific art forums, which sometimes predate and often coexist with them, constitute a significant change in the relationship between art practices, personal collecting, and social practices. And more to the point for me, it really is that the games and software created by people in this context are now so interwoven with them that they pose new questions for archiving. And I mean to say, well, that's kind of obvious since time immemorial, as we've heard with the forums being important to the demo scene in Adam's talk. But I think something new is happening again. Third, that one constructive way to examine how these relationships are changing and to give ourselves some kind of framework to look at all this work that's happening is to think about game images, game art, game assets in terms of seriality, a concept that is used most often around studies of cute culture, as in cute. But which is of use in examining how fan art, game art, production art, personal collections, and archives all intersect. Okay, so three things. Oh. I had a much more relevant image, but then I realized it was in a cinema, so I had to get a much nicer resolution one. So this is more animation. Okay. People who make popular art today, illustration, comics, fan art, concept art, do so heavily informed, if not entirely led, by sets of changing digital tools which involve tablets, computers, and a range of specialist software. It's obvious enough. Lev Manovich, who I never thought I'd quote, discusses in Software Takes Command last year how art and design software have altered the methods of image construction to the point where it begins not to be relevant to train artists and designers in pre-digital forms. Not true, but many people believe that, especially in art and design school and education and pedagogy. So I think it's important to kind of pick that up. So people not training in traditional art forms, going straight to digital illustration, which is actually more common practice than you think. The reflexive point debated by art and design scholars actually since the introduction of the computer is upended by framing software that completely often just takes those old forms and synthesizes old production methods in new ways. So we have this software hardware change in the way that people produce digital images. The impact that the graphic drawing tablets, such as those sold by the company Wacom, have had on digital images is, of course, very complex and varied, and it's been the site of some interesting investigations over the past few years. Of course, we think about the digital imaging workflow, or sequence of tasks needed to reach an outcome, as we do in many tech and software and other types of production studies. At its most basic, a digital drawing tablet, if we want a definition, is just a flat sensitive sensor coupled to a digital pointer. And it allows artists and other designers training and drawing and painting to create directly, to create files directly. They vary wildly in capability, of course, but have slowly created more and more changes in the way images are produced and the way they look. The drawing tablet has been understood by theorists, and I think chiefly here of Eilish Wood, less as a transformative agent, but as a site of transformation. It changes the movement of information, changes who generates it just as much as how it's generated. Wood did very interesting long-form studies on software packages such as Maya, understanding how different people were using complex software and where it was changing the digital creative industries. I'm cheating a little bit because her new book comes out in 2 months, and it's called Software Animation and the Moving Image, What's in the Box. I cannot recommend it enough. In both books, both 2007 Digital Encounters and the new book, Eilish Wood talks about what we might think about as democratization of image-making technology, but what that actually means for the images being produced both on the amateur scale and the industrial scale is incredibly different. People who've had 20 years experience with a tablet, which we now have some, people with that kind of level of experience, have got an incredibly different set of skills. So why is this important? And I think this goes back to my opening time travel gambit. A common euphemism, the one that we kind of take in all the time for developing content for the web and for new technology, is that we are content creators, or there is such a thing as content. And this term spreads equivocally, and we critique it now and then, but don't really come back to it. The idea that work is original and that its content is reworkable and able to be reorganized in configurations is, of course, very easy to take on because it alludes to the structures that we already know. But it's also worth critiquing that kind of work. And it's often done in the shadow of a longer, stranger personal process. We lose a bit of description. Eilish Wood in 2007 talked about how digital images show the traces of their making in interesting new ways. The recognizability is more about the broad technological recognition in us rather than the moving images themselves. That is, we gain the pattern recognition, end quote. So the more we think of things as content and therefore as separate files and objects, the more we miss. Owners of drawing tablets may use them primarily for the direct hand manipulation of images, but just as another peripheral attached to the computer. They become ways to use software such as web browsers, media players. They become vernacular and they become parts of, you know, I use the web with my hand now on a tablet, which is different again to using it on an iPad. The digital tablet or digital screen is a kind of prime mover now in the cultures of popular art. It allows artists and designers to layer images of complexity and depth, to rapidly sketch out faces, parodic sketches, erotic art, redrawings and overdrawings in a matter of seconds. Art becomes conversational. Are you ready for some high-class artwork? I wanted something that was neither fully representative of DeviantArt, but kind of does it all at one go at the same time. If you haven't visited DeviantArt, it's now got a long history, as many other image-based social networks, and I'm really pushing it, calling it a social network anyway, as anyone who's used it knows. But it's got a really interesting structure, and one which I didn't want to really go into. But you have your gallery and your favorites down the side, and liking other people's artwork and commenting on it is the social economy. You have your artwork and the artwork of others, so you must produce and reproduce meanings for images in order to take part in its world. DeviantArt is taking on new kind of responsibilities alongside forums like concept art, not just for the industrial side of game production, but for the amateur and independent side as well. Okay. Okay, there is some early work on sites like DeviantArt and what they mean and what they do. And what's interesting, as always, is what researchers choose to do with a new object of study. Two relatively germinal projects by Nella Noppe, who looks at transcultural relationships between people on sites like DeviantArt and Mixlr, and another project made up of multiple studies by Alima Akhtar Salah, who comes up with a term, image user network, and you can probably imagine what that has as a kind of intellectual genealogy, both try to come at the same problem. That is that there are both quantitative and qualitative shifts happening in the popular art space and at some velocity. When a humanities scholar working with, say, the ideas of Henry Jenkins or Michel de Certeau could once term fan art and kind of grip it, images today might not have those same complexities and might belong to a different history. Artists using DeviantArt will often do so in concert with other websites and social networks, multiple channels at multiple times for multiple images. They're communicating with friends and other artists. But especially important in the role of the website to curate and collate the work of others in a public and social way as part of their artistic process. Nelly Noppe's transcultural study attempts to come at this from the position of network analysis, where we can map changes in patterns and build a topology. Who and where? Who is liking whose artwork? Where do they live? Alima Akhtar Salah's attempt to make an image user network analysis is a brave but ultimately Sisyphean approach to build a meta framework understanding of how images relate to each other. Is this a fan image? Is it a redrawing? Is it erotic? And so on. It only takes a little while of looking at such work to begin examining how specific user studies, file tagging, metadata can be used to sort through the noise. In a moment, I'll talk about seriality and why it might be useful for us in thinking about this stuff. But just to kind of think about concept art. Concept art, broadly understood in the writing that we have in game studies and of all kinds, is seen as an industrial paradigm. But increasingly, people who want to get into games come to it through concept art. And the assumption had been for a long time in people producing, managing games degrees, is that the coding was going to be the thing that changed. But in fact, that while that's been the case, people were able to draw and produce images at a much higher functional level, even though they don't have art training, thanks to things like the tablet. So they'll come and apply to degrees with a dragon or a knight, something that looks quite finished because they've been able to follow online tutorials, have a cheap graphics tablet. And their idea of what game design is sometimes drawing. That's what they think it is. And having to work through it as a teacher and manager of degrees, and now I'm speaking to others who have the same experience. And this is a sea change for us in trying to work out what the hell we're going to do with these people. So yeah, do you like the squelching leeches? So artists such as this will work across popular art, They'll sell individual pieces for the backs of cards, be they on Magic the Gathering, like there in the corner. They might sell one or two pieces for a digital game, and they might sell work to each other. They might sell prints to each other through sites like Redbubble, and they'll often be freelancers. Do you also like the Triton Shorewalker? The classic. That's good. And part of my thought process on this, and actually I'm not the only one starting to work on this, is seeing, say, someone starting up a games degree, and they've already got a kind of career in popular art production, and they're often selling their own artwork and concept artwork for like Sonic the Hedgehog or Mega Man artwork, and they're selling it on sites like Redbubble. They've got income happening already based on fan art, but they don't call it fan art. They've got an entirely different system of meaning around it, calling characters OC. And it took me 3 years to work out OC wasn't Orange County, the TV show. It was original characters, as if that needed to be said. So there's entirely different systems of signification. Okay. So professional concept art has started to speed up in its form and started to be produced far more often and started to be used in different ways. Of course, it's always been used to promote ideas of games before that they could be completed. But it's got a role of 5 minutes? All right. It's got a role also now of underwriting fandom, not just the production process. It's not just a bar to be met by the 3D real-time scene. It's a bar to be met by artists who will make fan art immediately in the wake of the first reveal. Okay, so the third element, I'm talking about seriality. I'm just talking about cute for a while. It's not quite cute. Contemporary illustration and digital drawing culture's most visible structures, like Tumblr, which I haven't talked about much, are all places where images seem to be unmoored from their creators and are recirculated in different ways. But on closer inspection, there are ingrained social rules about authorship, attribution, and genre that inform the structures very heavily. Researchers such as Larissa Horth have written extensively on the role of cute in digital culture. Much of her work argues for a more inclusive and internationalized genealogy of digital culture and exposes continuing category differences from country to country, market to market, environment to environment. She says in 2009, cute culture humanizes technological spaces, rendering the experience familiar, human, and emotional. So I really think this is an important concept for, especially if you're thinking about the drawing tablet. Drawing cute characters is one of the easiest things that you can do. It's easiest to perfect. But also, more importantly, it creates immediate, useful social capital for someone producing game art, something that can be used immediately. Kudos, reblogs, and all those things which are part of the new social economy can happen very, very quickly. Okay. In one of Anne Allison's work, essays on Pokemon, various and serial media model of Pokemon is congruent with its own various and serial monsters, in which the main Nintendo portable games have different stages of neoteny and growth. So Pokemon players and watchers have a complex media form made explainable by the monsters. Cute seriality sort of explains the prevailing order of the Pokemon universe, where knowing hundreds of names and dozens of abstract systems are part of spectatorship. Having such a huge impact as it does on people who then go on to draw and go on to possess a desire to become part of game art, Pokemon has an underlying I talk about it as the oil in the sand. It's kind of always present now as a kind of as an impact on the way that people draw in video games. So we cannot be satisfied by saying that drawings done by amateurs of characters are merely reinterpretive fan works. The evolution of fan studies within cultural studies moves through several stages of negotiation, including grief, between negotiation, poaching, and so on. These terms I'm sure you know. The seriality in art practice and seriality between images helps digital artists form creative networks, build large reference galleries, take part in the reputation economy of social media, and curate their own work. When sketching or drawing quickly, cute is just more than a style. It's your economic buy-in to the social system, and it's ways in which you will get work in game concept art, in providing those one-off commissions that are sort of part of the new game art economy. Okay. So contemporary illustration cultures circulate economies of production and signification through sites such as DeviantArt and Tumblr. In these environments, cuteness works as a reason to make and modulate images. This is one of a zillion slightly more realistic renderings of Pokemon animals, and this is the variants of the Eevee Pokemon, who I'm sure you all know is greatly underrated in the tournaments. I'm sure I'll see you all there, I'm sure, next time. Artists develop cute or non-cute or realistic images of existing characters and situations to kind of refract a relationship to a television program. Fandom is actually less important than the social context in which it arrives. And what we can think about, in terms of extending this concept of seriality, I can highly recommend Mark Steinberg's New Seriality series of essays, in which he talks about not just images, but sounds and computer programs having an effect on each other. And there's been lots of work by Thomas Lamar on anime and cute as well that kind of ties into this. So thinking through how these images start to make sense for each other, I want to propose that in observing the sorts of people that are emerging today in terms of independent game production, their rules have changed on us again in a way that's really, really interesting. And I'm interested to know how the people I see coming through, both game degrees, but also people who are not in institutions, are producing not just games, but sometimes not games at all. Sometimes they're producing artifacts which relate to fandom, which kind of exist and don't exist. And curation's already solved some of these problems by being able to show multiple artifacts. But sometimes artifacts aren't being produced. Sometimes only shadows, layers of images are being produced, and they're the things that have meaning, that have social infrastructure. And so part of the process for understanding some of the game designers that are emerging now will be to capture that social information, capture their social economy, who they reblock, for what purpose. And it's an incredibly important part of their journey, and will be for us as well. Thank you.